Last time we talked about what was the purpose of the creation of the desire and the endless, and what was the purpose of the Tzimtzum. The Tzimtzum, as we call it, contraction, and what was the reason for the Tzimtzum. And I repeated in the last three classes again and again and again that the Tzimtzum didn't take a place because it was a difference between the receiver and the giver. Even there is a difference between the giver and the receiver, because we say, as you remember, he and his name are one. We mention he and his name are one, uveshmo echad, meaning he related to the giver, to the light, to the creator, his name related to the receiver. So there is a certain unity between those two forces, but they are different. They are different. There is a very big difference between the giver and the receiver. Now, when we're talking about Tzimtzum, the contraction can only take a place on where there is a desire. The contraction, the Tzimtzum, cannot take a place wherever there is no desire. Is that clear? I want to make sure we repeat it for already 10 weeks. Tzimtzum can only take a place wherever there is a desire. Now, the idea, what Rav Ashlag is teaching us based on the Ari, that if we talk about the whole concept of Tzimtzum, the whole concept of contraction, we need to understand something very important, and that's where most teacher and student do a mistake. Most people think because there is a difference between the receiver and the giver, because there is a difference between the receiver and the giver, now the receiver wants to act like the light as a different thing. But we need to understand in the endless, what we call Ein Sof, there is no difference at all. There is no difference between the light and the vessel, or the light and the vessel, or the giver and the receiver. It's very important that we repeat it in our mind. No different. But once we empty whatever we empty, the light, now you see the difference. I gave an example last week, and I said, if I take a cup that's made of ice, put it in the ocean, which is made of water, ice and water is the same thing, right? H2O. And now I will empty the ocean. Now I will be aware of the cup. From here we learn that we can tell the difference between people not when they fulfill, when they are empty. The only way you know the difference between people when they're running on empty. People who fulfill are the same. There's no difference. Happy is happy. Rich is rich for every person, a different number. When you fulfill, you look the same like everybody. Who is the person that looks different in the room? The one who's running on empty. Okay, so it's a very, very important technology to understand also people, not just what we studied before the creation. So when we talk about Tzimtzum, Rav Ashlag last week explained, and he say like that. When usually two people get married, so the receiver in the endless, the original receiving was created by the light. So the light created a force of receiving. What type of receiving did the light created? Where is that receiving come from? Because the light, the divine, God, the creator, the Ein Sof, is only giving. There is no receiving. But that intelligent of giving creates something which call receiving. Now that receiving energy, now it's receiving for only one reason, to give pleasure to the creator that wanted to give. So the original creation, before Adam and Eve, before God as we know God, before Genesis, we are talking about the original creation was only two things. Force of giving and force of receiving. What came first? Force of giving. What was the force of giving created? Only one thing. Force of receiving. After that, the creation just basically grew from that point on. So when we talk about creation, the divine, the endless, create only one thing, desire. Nothing needed to be created after that. So everything we're looking at is actually a desire. We're not looking at anything. This table has a certain desire. To hold your food, to hold my book, all the towels. So now, what is my relationship with the table? Right? Is he giving me or I'm giving him? It's very important to start looking at things. Who is the giver? Who is the receiver? So now when I'm looking at the table, is he giving me the opportunity to give? Or am I giving the table the opportunity to give? Because the table is serving me. Many people don't say thank you to the table because it's just a table. It's a table. Take care of me. Hold my food, hold my water, hold my phone, my recording. And it's not the manner's appreciation, because the manner's appreciation can be ego. It's going to come from a place of understanding that the table itself is actually sharing. But the table without me will be useless. So the light without the receiver cannot be manifest. So that's kind of confusing. It can create some thought of doubts about the divine. Because now you're saying, okay, God, I'm going to do you a favor. And you're actually not wrong. God without you cannot come to manifestation. How would God manifest itself without you? No way. God manifests itself through human, through animals, through vegetables, trees, fruit, and through minerals. That's a manifestation of the Creator. So in a way, the Creator created only one thing, receiving force. What was the receiving force? Always remember that. Was made from giving force. Because before the light was nothing. It was just light. It was just a giving force. So if we talk about just giving force, how can a receiving force be created from something which is not receive anything? So for that reason, we call it yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. Yesh me'ayin. Yesh means something. Me'ayin, from nothing. And that's one of the strongest axioms in Kabbalah. Because it makes you think, it starts making you wonder, like, wow. Where is the receiving force came from? It wasn't exist within the light. So that's a unique concept. So it was exist from a point of the light is giving opportunity now to create a receiving force. The first receiving force was made of light as well. But now, so what was our original purpose in this universe? To receive. People build donation organization, giving organization. It was never meant to be this way. It's meant to be that Creator give you 100%, you receive 100%. That's the only way you can give. But because we fell down about 100 level down without going to details why 100, in this illusionary universe, physical universe, where the body exists, where we are long distance from where we came from, now here we have to, the body don't let us give. The body doesn't want to give. The body want to receive. The body is a difficult thing we have to carry with us. Carry with us. You know, that's why, if you know the story I share all the time, it's written in the Shema, in the prayer of the Shema. It's written you should love the Creator with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your domain. That's what it's written. What does that mean? And who's the one who ever made it? Well, it was a few people, but one of them, the most famous, is Rabbi Akiva. And he's famous for the Omer. What happened to him? He was ready to let go of everything. But to be tested, to give your soul away, it's only happening one time in life. When a person dies. So when the Romans start taking his skin off, that's how he died, unfortunately. His student came to him and said, in Hebrew, Rabbi Ad Matai, teacher, till when you gonna play with this game? You're suffering. He said, go away, snake. Go away, snake. Kol chayai, all my life I'm waiting for this moment. Ve'ata, and now when this moment comes, you're willing to push it away? What is Rabbi Akiva trying to say by that? Rabbi Akiva want to be able to be the ultimate goal of tzimtzum, of contraction, of restriction, the ultimate goal of transformation. What is the ultimate goal? What is the ultimate goal? Self-sacrifice. The person is capable to let go of his soul and he still feel that is connected to the creators. That's when everybody here need to die to connect. We are not in that level. So don't try it at home, please. No, don't try it. We're not in that level. It's a waste of time even to try. Because the ego that involved in it, it's a disaster. So we cannot get there. But we can talk about that story as something to think about. So Rabbi Akiva knew that he want to get to a level of basically letting go totally of his body, letting go totally of his soul. The way Rabbi Akiva treat his body is like a third person. When Rabbi Akiva tried to drink tea, he used to basically tell his body, let me take you to drink tea. You wouldn't talk to his body like they are one. Separate his body. Say, hey, let me. So eventually the last test of the body was killing. But in his level, he could do something with it. We don't need to be tested in that area. It's a waste of time. Nobody will test you in that area. It's ridiculous. We might be tested if somebody insults you in public. That's a good test. That's perfect. If you insult in public, what do? You get angry. How do you feel? What do you think? What do you say? What do? Now we're talking. That's the body. The body gets uncomfortable. Why? Why are we getting uncomfortable? What happened? What if somebody insult my body? It's a body. The body is not even part of that creation. Just illusionary thing, born and then grave. That's it. It's just suit. Why do people get so angry? Somebody said to somebody, you look ugly. I told myself the same thing. You're so stupid. I know. Telling you, I'm fighting with it every day. Can you imagine that none of those things bother us, but it bothers me because I'm connected to a body consciousness. Because I'm trying to be some body. Body, the word is body. It's very difficult to be no body. It's very difficult. How can you be no body? Like the body is not important. We want to be somebody. My body. And that's what the conscious of the universe is falling down. That people are more connected to the body now. It's very difficult to connect to a soul. People not connected to a soul, not connected to the body. People judge with the way you look, the way you smell, the way you walk. You have a six-pack, you don't have a six-pack. You know, that's how we imagine people today. You know, so we got to go back to the soul because that's our purpose, really. We're wasting time if we just think about the body. Does the body need to be healthy? Yes, because you got to take off your suit. It's got to still clean and everything, but it's not your goal. It's how you will survive this physical universe. Because we are an illusionary universe called Olam, this world, this universe called Olam. Why is it called Olam? Who came up with the name? O-L-A-M. Olam from the root, the Elam. Because the light of the creator almost don't exist here. There's nothing going on here. So what's happening? It's called Reshimot. Impression, mean memories of what it's the original light looked like. So how do you connect to the Reshimot? With your mind mostly. With the body you can do a little bit, with the prayer, a little bit meditation, a little bit nice. I can do some nice thing. But the main thing is to understand this also. Rabbi Akiva knew that. So he started changing his life only when he was 40. 40, can you imagine? He started studying when he was 40. Beginning. Getting into class with 6 years old, sitting there embarrassed. Why? Because his wife pushed him to do so. So it was embarrassing for the body. 24 years after he started to become famous, only in age 64. So some of us who are impatient about what's going on in our life, we start to have to look in how strong is our desire. How strong is your desire? And what is your desire? What type of desire you have? What type of desire? It's all about desire. Beginning, end, right, left, it's all about desire because the creator already have the fulfillment. You don't have to worry about what you don't have. You don't have to look for what you don't have. What you don't have, it's already there next to you. What is it, the 5 billion you're looking for if you talk about money? Sitting, it's just left to you. Sitting, you can touch it actually. But why is it not materializing itself? Well, I don't have enough desire. That's not my desire right now. Whatever is not working is a lack of that desire in this world. Now, going back to what I explained before, in the endless, the desire was unique. It was desire to receive for the sake of sharing. Meaning, I'm desiring only to give a pleasure to the Creator. But truly in the endless, it was no free will. The vessel just received because the light wanted to give. It was no free will. When we came to this world, our only purpose is to go back to what it was, but this time with a little bit change. What's the change? Every time I take something, I should say, I don't want it. And then I want it because I know the universe wants to give it to me. That's it. That's the entire purpose of our creation. Can you imagine? That's the entire. We're only coming here to this world for that reason. If you think you're coming here for a different reason, if you think you're coming here to share, that's ego trip. Share what? Who need you? Share what? Saving people who don't have food. Really? What, you think God took vacation to Cancun? Why are you saving people? No, if you want to save it so you can feel good about yourself, go save. If you want to help, go help. You want to hug, go hug. You want to write a letter for somebody who's miserable, go write a letter. But remember, nobody need you. Nobody need you. Because unfortunately, most people who do good things for people, then there is ego sneaking into their soul. What do you do with the ego now? After the ego sneaking, where am I going to go with that? I feel important. I feel good. There is a famous story from Ukraine. It was a rabbi by the name of Rav Zusha. One of my favorite stories. Rav Zusha was a very poor man. Very, very poor man. And he needed to marry his daughter. So he goes all the way to the other side of town to his teacher. His teacher's name is Magid of Mezrich. So I need to borrow money. How much you need? 5,000 rubles. No problem. Here's the money. He goes to his town. In those days, the Rebbe has an account that needed for different things. So when people come to the teacher, to the rabbi, he has always many accounts, and they give him cash, whatever they need. So he goes back to his hometown. Going back to his hometown, he sees a wedding on the way. People are happy. He said, you know what? It's a good thing to be part of a wedding. It's going in. But as he's getting to the inner circle, people are miserable. Outside circle, people eating and dancing. Inside circle, people are sad. So you see the groom and the bride, like, crying. And so what's going on here? I said, well, the father said, I don't have the money to pay for it. We get stuck with no money. So where's the money? So we lost it. So how was the money built? What to? So it was 20, 50, you know. He told them exactly how it was breakthrough, you know. So, okay, of course, you know what Rav Zusha did. He go to the bank, break it. Then he come with the money back. He come with the money back. And they tell him, okay, so nice of you, found the money, you found what we lost. Now we can continue with the wedding. So no, if you want me to give you the 5,000 ruble, I want 1,000 ruble for myself. Now you need to remind you, that's his money. He never found any money, it was his money. And they say, come on, we need to continue the wedding. Come on. No, he start fighting with them. They beat him up, they took the money, they kick him out of town. 5 months later, the father of the bride and the groom praying in the same synagogue of where his teacher praying. And they say to the rabbi, can we talk to you in the end, not the fault of everybody? So, of course, of course. So we recognize one of your students here, Rav Zusha. So, yeah, there's a problem with him. So, well, one time, and we know that you teach differently, we lost 5,000 rubles, he found them, and instead of returning it to us, he starts fighting with us. There is no way, he said, there is no way that Rav Zusha would do such a thing. I know Rav Zusha very well. He would never do such a thing. So he did. He did it. So he said, you know what, let me talk to him. You go and let me talk to him. They take Rav Zusha to another room, and he walking into another room. He said, Rav Zusha, is it true you play game with money of people? He said, well, you talk about the wedding. He said, yes. So why would you do that? Why would you do such a thing? Say, Rabbi, remember the money you gave me? Say, yes, I remember. Well, on the way back, I saw the wedding. I felt sad for them. I want to give them the money. I said, why did you just give it to them? Give them the donation and leave. Say, it's not so simple. After I broke the money from the bank to the 20 and 100 and everything else, and I came back, my ego started talking to me. My ego starts telling me, oh, Zusha, you're so special. You're sharing, you're giving, you're wonderful. So what am I going to do? So I still have to give it, but I want them to give it without they say thank you to me. And that's what I did. This story is to help us to understand the value of giving, but in the center, the dangers of giving. That's why we were created originally to receive only, never to give. A human was created to receive. We are the ultimate receiver. But because we fell to this physical universe, the way to go back is through sharing. But when you share with somebody who needs help, and you, God forbid, have ego about it, you lost it. You lost it. The poor man don't need you. I need the poor man. But it's not from a man's point of view. I want you to understand it from a technology point of view. You're giving because he's giving you opportunity to give. Okay? I mean, people give to their children. Say, I gave my children everything. I said, did you suffer from it? He said, no. I said, that's it. They give you the chance to give. The table give me the chance, right? I'm giving the table now. Okay, table, you've been nice to me. I want to give you the chance to give me. Hold my table, my water. So it's all day long, the way you look at things. The giver is the receiver, like you say. The giver is the giver, and the receiver become the giver. So now we have wedding. We have everybody's giving. Now, what happened if the groom is super rich? So the halacha in Masechet Kiddushin, in the Talmudic Kiddushin, if the groom is very rich, giving a ring for the bride is unnecessary. So what do you do? Now she needs to give him the ring. It's kind of a weird thing. It doesn't usually happen, but I'm just using it as an example. Because if he, who have everything, receive now something, is giving her the opportunity to give him. So by him receiving something from her, it's so much pleasure that he's giving her. So not always you share when you share. Sometimes you share actually when you receive. Sometimes you share when you receive. You got to remember. So in the endless, it was very powerful. And he repeat again. Atzimtzum hayeta rak lesibat acheshek latzura hadasha. The tzimtzum, please remember that the contraction only took a place to create something new that called desire to receive for the sake of sharing. Meaning, I want to receive only to give pleasure to the Creator. That's the reason they invented brachot, blessing when you drink water, wine, food. Why do you do blessing? Why God needs your thank you? You're sitting there and say, oh, thank you, God, for the food. Right? Some people sit, if you're Christian or if you're Muslim or if you're Jewish, we thank you the food God gave us. God sitting there and say, oh, stop everything you're doing. Somebody say thank you to me. Very good, now you can eat. Really? No. Religion can kill the whole aspect of God. Religion itself can cover God the most. The purpose of the brachot, the purpose of the blessing, it's very, very simple. It's basically I'm saying no to the food, and then I say, yes, I will take it. That's it. All day long. No? Yes. Remember when we were kids, we grew up, we have guests in our house, not like today. The door is not, somebody need to make a phone call, an email, and Sunday, 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock. Knock on the door, you have to be ready. And you never know if they're coming together. Sometimes there is 10, sometimes one. But if they come 10, the kids would have to go to the shop and buy the food. But one of the things that my parents taught us, like manners, table manners, we have to sit at the table, and we have to say no 3 times. I mean, I'll say no. So I remember, me and my sister was a little bit naughty, unfortunately. So I go to my sister, I say, why would they say no? The ice cream is melting. They shouldn't say no about the ice cream. And she said, I agree. And we both like tried to sneak the ice cream, and my father just looked at us. And we are supposed to be, but that was mostly for manners. But there is beauty in it too. The point is not to restrict the ice cream or the food or the something bother you until you don't have to. You want to restrict until you don't want it. Because then you're becoming from a receiver to a giver. Okay? Our entire purpose is to become a giver. You want to buy a watch. You want to buy a phone. You want to go to the doctor that he will tell you that you feel okay. What kind of thing that you want to receive? I mean, there is books on Kabbalah. Hopefully I will be able to use it in 2 weeks. That say that if you want to feel better, you actually just go to the office of the doctor, park the car, go back to the car and go back. And you will feel better. It's weird, right? I mean, it's weird. I'm saying it on the camera, but I cannot sign on it for all kind of legal purposes, but the book say it. It's in the book. So the idea of understanding that we have to be capable, when you even buy a dress, shoes, you go to the store, how much you want it? 100%? 20? 10? I don't want it. Okay, let me buy it. It's a game. Because what happened, if you go and see the shoes as entity in them, also it has a soul. So now, who is the sharing and who is the receiving? Is the shoe say, let me give myself to you, pay the price? Or you said, okay, shoes, I see nobody buy you, let me buy it. Where you come from? Where you come from? Where you come from? That's the same with the food. That's the same with everything that we receive pleasure from. Pleasure from. And that's why you have to be capable of understanding life like that. Life like that. You can pay the bill, the check, for the restaurant for everybody, like I said last week. It doesn't mean that you are the giver. You might pay $2,000, but you receive the blood of energy of everybody else in the table. Because everybody look at you like important now. Wow. The best. So it's all why you're doing what you're doing. It has to be with the consciousness of I'm capable not to receive, and I receive to give pleasure to the creator, pleasure to the people. That's the only reason. The only reason that the tzimtzum, the contraction takes place. Now look at that, what Rav Ashlag said. ולפיכך, לא נעשתה נקודה אמצעית, meaning the מלכות, meaning the middle point, לבחינת סוף, to an end, מחמת הצמצום. לפיכך לא ייתכן כלל להבחין עניין קטן וגדול. זה שאמר הרב שהצמצום היה בהשוואה גמורה. So what happened in the endless, it was no small or big, it was not different between the light and the vessel in the endless only. Why? Because now I am capable. They say, when Mashiach come, everything going to be okay with the Messiah. What is Messiah? Messiah means that all people will no longer want to receive. I don't want nothing. But they will receive because they know that's the only way they can give you the opportunity to give. Can you imagine that type of consciousness? That's what Messiah means. So how much can you receive? Well, as much as you can say no to. You want to know how much you can receive? How much you can say no to. Can you say no to 1 billion when you see it? If you can say no to 1 billion, you can receive 1 billion. No problem. No problem. How much pride you want to receive and respect? Can you say to 1 million people who are telling you are the best? You can. If you can, then you can receive 1 million people. It's all about that. You know, in one of the events that I was running with my master, with my teacher, many years ago, it was actually here in Palm Springs, we brought like 3,500 people. It was the biggest event. It was the same year that he got sick. So I remember, it was, my teacher has like few students, I happen to be one of them, and we're sitting like this, about three or four of us, and we say, wow, you know, so many people this time. And he's sitting quiet with his book and say, guys, how many people there is in the world? So we look at each other, how many people everybody ask? So we say like 7 billion. Say, is that, he asked, is that 10%? Is that 1%? And he came from the idea, do we help truly enough people? And the idea, whenever I was teaching a basketball team or football team that I coach or different people like that, from a spiritual point, I used to coach them. The one thing that they used to teach them is desire. What's your level of desire? If your level of desire is small, you can't win. You can't do anything. So when you look at people who want a lot from life, never judge them. Never judge them. Because those people who transform, those are the highest people. When you see people, what we call good people, their one is like they're born and die, nothing ever happened. It's like nothing ever happened. I always enjoy to see people who are selfish. I always get excited when people want more from life than I do. They get me so excited because I know those are the people who can change the world if they change themselves. Those are the people who can change the world. The people who what we call flat cracker, matzah cracker, right? Nothing going on there. Everything is good. I'm such a nice person, right? You hear people say that. I'm such a nice person. Then you have to have more desire. Nice people that don't have desire, of course they're nice. They never bother anybody. You ever saw a good person bother anybody? No. But the creation is not built from that. The creation is built from your level of desire. You got to want more every day. If I give a $200 bill to a dog, it will not affect him. You got to have desire. More and more and more. And then when you have it, can I let it go? No? And then there is no gain.
So is it all about giving as much as you can, and then that's what builds a bigger desire?
Is that no. Receiving as much as you can, but are you capable to let it go? Let's say I love to eat, right? Uh-huh. You know how to say no to food. I don't. If I see something, I got to finish it. That's how I've been. So the ability for me to say no to a food, that's the giving. But what if my wife cooks something for me and I give it a bite? I give pleasure to my wife who cook it for me. So my receiving becomes the giving.
So it's almost like everything that you receive, all the food, it has to be about how can whatever I receive do the most good? How do I give?
No. You now go in psychology. I want you to stay on Kabbalah. Stay on Kabbalah, not psychology. Simple. Again, the technology go giving, receiving. The original is giving and receiving. Now, the receiving has to be very simple. I want to receive. That's why it becomes endless. I want to receive because I want to give pleasure to the giver. Oh. So that's very important. Don't go manners, psychology. Don't fall there. Because once you fall there, it's ego. Every time you fall to manners, like I have to be nice to someone, ego trip. Why is it ego trip? Because I want them to like me. So now I stole the energy of the human being who look at me. Now I'm let me grab and get you champagne. Oh, here's a champagne for you. So now I'm bringing you champagne. Now you like me. I'm a nice guy. I stole your brain. But I'm coming across as everybody see me as a giver. Give champagne to everybody on me. Oh, so nice. Such a nice person. No. Person stole your energy. Now, what happened to that person? The kids come home with a painting. I said last week, the guy's Picasso. His son bring a painting. Picasso doesn't need a painting. But now Picasso look at the painting and say, wow, that's amazing. Now Picasso is receiving the picture and give a pleasure to the giver. That's the true giver. That's a true giver. It's saying the halacha, it's saying the laws, that one of the ways to help a poor person is to give them a job. Give them a job. You want to help somebody? Give them a job. Can you give them a job? Or you want to give $10? Why you give $10? For $10, you're going to feel so important today? What an ego trip. Here's $10. Oh, I feel like unbelievable. For $10, it's worth it. $1 sometimes. Or penny. So who get more ego? The giver. And that's why the first level is giving a job. Second level is called matan baseter. Mean you give without nobody know about it. Right? And then third level is to teach other people how to give. That's the third level. There is many levels on tzedakah, on charity, how to do it. But that's not our subject. Our subject more to understand the depth of why there is something called endless vessel or endless receiver. Endless receiver mean that I want more every day. But why do I want more? Only to give a pleasure for this universe to give me. Most people either ashamed to have more, ashamed to have more, or they greedy to have more. Both situations is bad. If a person is greedy to have more, then when he have it, he will be miserable. Or she, doesn't matter. If the person ashamed to have more, then he making fun of the creator. It's written in the Torah when there is something called Nazir. Nazir is like a monk, somebody who wouldn't eat grapes or he has to grow his hair long, no sex, you know, total 1 year of restriction from everything good, every pleasure. So it's written that he has to bring Korban Hashem. He has to bring a sacrifice of guilt. Sacrifice of guilt. I just restrict my life. No food, no sex, long hair. You know, I suffer for 1 year. Well, it was never the purpose of God. That's what people don't remember. The purpose of the Creator, the original purpose of the Creator was only one. What was the original purpose of the Creator? La'asot nachat ruach le'yotzro. Meaning only to give pleasure to his creatures. Only. If you look, what's the purpose of this creator? What are we doing here? Like people would ask, what are we doing here? I'm writing now 12 lectures on Kabbalah that will be like basic for everybody to be able to understand and study it and then teach it. So I just finished writing the title. So I'm in the moment writing like the purpose. What is our purpose? What is the creation? What are we doing here? So I go into the Talmud. The Talmud writes, La'asot nachat ruach le'nivra'av. God says, you woke up in the morning, God wake up in the morning, say, how can I give pleasure to the one I created? That's it, the beginning and the end of everything. Can you imagine? That's it. So if you don't enjoy this universe, not something wrong with him, the one upstairs, something wrong with me. So some people has that attitude of suffering. I don't know if you ever met them. I know many people like that. They wake up in the morning. How can we create pain and suffering and drama? And what's the next thing they do in the next day? How can we solve the pain and drama? You know what I just say? They create first problem, and then they create solution for the problem. You never heard about problem? Rav Ashlag talked about it. He called those people, by the way, the people who tried to create peace. That's what he called them. He say, Oseh shalom em oseh milchama. The one who creates peace is the one who creates war. He said, only follow one type of people right here. The one who are looking for mercy. Those are the people to follow. Because mercy, people look for mercy, forgive a little bit, let go a little bit, but and we continue to do good. Remember that. So when you give to the poor, when you help someone, it doesn't matter what you do. Always have to remember, thank you for giving me the opportunity to give. Remember that. Remember, when we built the center in, I had to travel to Columbus, Ohio. I don't know if you've ever been there. I don't recommend it. There's nothing there. I mean, nothing going on there. If you want to be quiet and pay very cheap on a hotel, it's actually a good place. So I met a family, one of the richest family there, because I need to raise money for a project that I was building. So as I'm raising the money, I was all receiving. It was no sharing. I will need the money urgently, and I need it now. So the funny part, I'm going with a person that I'm training, and we're all waiting in the office, and the office like this, and this 3 billionaire walking in, and I make the the speech, explain my project, and why I want to do it, how I want to do it, and the people give to everybody who come in. Everybody get. So the person say, my secretary will write a check after 2 hours of... And then he put the envelope and he give it to me. So the person who I train is with me. He said, let's open the envelope. I said, no, we need to learn restriction. It was fake restriction, the wrong one. We need to be able to let it go until after Shabbat. It was Friday afternoon. Saturday night, you will see. The entire Shabbat, we're not even thinking about Shabbat. We're not even thinking about God. We're thinking about the envelope. We look at that envelope. I put it on the table. The entire Shabbat, I'm praying to the envelope. Stupid. I was young and stupid. Just open it, and then that will not be your new God. But I'm happy I did this mistake, so I can tell it to you. Because I was so attached. Now, in the end, people who are billionaires, they usually give $100,000, stuff like that. I'm opening the envelope. There's $18. $18. But the laugh that I had at that day was the best. We laughed so bad. I mean, we laugh hysterical. Because we built it up to be so high, the envelope was our God for 3 days. This was our God. Yeah, we're going to build 2 buildings and a school. We're going to do this. We're going to give part of it for the nation. We built it. that's Columbus, Ohio. I remember that. But the beauty of the story, we didn't come from a place of giver. We come from a place of selfish receiver. I have a project. No? Now, it doesn't mean that if I would come from a place of giving, it would be better. It would be better for me. But it doesn't even change the amount of the check. You understand? So it changed the consciousness. So when you go buy a dress, buy a table, buy a chair, you have to feel it. You have to feel who want to give and who want to receive. I want to receive the shoes, or the shoes want to receive me. It's tough. It's a tough decision. If the shoes want to receive me, the shoes will take you to wherever the shoes want to go. Remember, it's very careful, very dangerous. If you buy the table, and the table, if the table buy you, the table will do whatever the table wants. Now you are the secondary. You are the effect. The table is the cause. You buy an apartment. You buy a house. Why you buy a house? You know. So when Debbie found this place, the consciousness, the idea was, how can we make it a place to teach people? So it was from the purpose of, I don't want it. I don't want it. And we always say, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. But it keep appearing again. And those of you who know the story, Debbie can tell you later. The lady tried to sell it, tried to... Nobody. You can ask the entire neighborhood know the story here. And they always ask me, why you? I said, I have no idea why me. Maybe because we meant to do Shabbat. We meant to do lecture and Passover and stuff like that. You understand? So when you come from a place like this, it's no longer. So now the house tell you thank you. The table tell you thank you for using me. You say thank you, table, and the table go back and you cannot hear it, but that's the conversation. So it's always how the purpose of the entire creation, okay, was to receive for the sake of sharing. So it says, Pirush ke be'echach ne'esta po eze tmuna mechamat ha-tzimtzum. ואף על פי שהצמצום היה בהשוואה, ולא משום שינוי צורה, אמנם אחר הצמצום והסתלקות האור מאותה נקודה אמצעית, הרי נגלה שאין האור העליון ראו להידבק בה, משום הצורה שגדלות הקבלה נמצאת בה. What happened? When the light fulfilled the vessel, when the light fulfilled the receiver, the container, you don't see a difference between the light and the container. But when the light, I don't want to say go away, when the vessel, when the container say no, I don't want to receive, then the container become empty from light. Now you can see the difference between the light and the vessel. What is teaching us about life? Because you always like example from life. What is teaching us about life? Many times, you know, when people are fulfilling, they are happy with each other, it's beautiful, everything is working. Sometimes we go down like in life, you become empty. Empty from love, empty from money, God forbid, empty from health. That's the real time. Now you can see the difference between, you know, the fulfillment and whatever doesn't have it. You cannot make a difference in there, because you have to remember, if that person will get whatever they need in their life, there will be no difference between them and the light. Is that example clear or not? So put my glasses, see your expression. Was it clear? I will repeat it again. The only time we see difference between people, I say it in the beginning, when they're empty. If somebody is empty, you can see the difference, right? If two people, you have that show that my kids like, it's called Shark Tank. You know, so there is four people sitting, and they basically having a good time. That's the bottom line. They're having a good time. It's not about the money there. They have nothing to do. What are they going to do? Play backgammon all day long? So they got to do something. So the four of them sitting, and they start, or ping pong. So they're sitting there, and there is an opportunity for business, which is a good thing. But so the idea is we need to understand they're all fulfilled, so they all look the same. Fulfilled from money only. I'm not saying from love or health. For money, so you wouldn't feel... So when a person is fulfilled, it's very different. You act different. Your nerve system is different. Your muscles move different. Athletic people that I used to teach, if they feel fulfilled, you know, I used to tell them, the win already, you won. Just go and discover it on this physical universe. Whatever you're looking for already happened. You just behave in a certain way to discover what already happened. So if you, God forbid, think that you are creating your life, creating your money, God forbid, I said, creating the solution, no, you're discovering the solution. Solution is already there. Discover meaning in English, remove the cover. This cover, you only remove the cover. It's already there. It's all, everything is there. Nothing you can create. Nothing. There's no creation anymore. There's no creation. So how strong is your desire? That's a question in the end of the day. And if your desire is the same like it was yesterday or less, that's been, God forbid, you dying. You're dying slowly. You got to want more and more and more because the light want to give you more. The light want to give you way more than you can imagine. Le'etiv le'nivrahav, the Talmud said. To do good to his creature. That's it. To his creation. That's it. That's the only purpose. So if I don't want more from life, so either you suffer from depression, you're suffering for something, you've been rejected too many times, so you said, I don't want to want anymore. You got to want all the time. Want all the time. Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lutzato bring an example. He said, "What's who have more ego, a beggar or a businessman?" I always like to bring this example. And he say, beggar has more ego. He said, why? So because beggar doesn't have to deal with anything. He just put his hand, one time he break his ego and the money come in. A business person has to go out there, get beat up, try to pay the money, pay, not pay, this going bad, going good. It's very difficult. So you got to always want and want more. Don't rest. Want more. And once you want it and you're about to get it, then you push it back. You say, I don't want it. I don't want it until I really want it for the sake of giving a pleasure to the creation to give it to me. I know the creation want to give it to me now. I don't want it. I don't want it. But I know how much pleasure these shoes in the store want to be on my feet. Okay, let me take you. Come in. Let me take you with me. Many people buy shoes or dresses or that they don't wear because they actually didn't buy it. The dress by them. I want you to start listening to it because it could be the price $490. Okay? I heard the conversation in the store that bothered me, but I don't want to upset the girls here. But it bothered me, actually. I wasn't that reactive, but it bothered me. I was going in a store before Pesach. I said, maybe I get shoes. In the end, I didn't get it because I didn't feel it right. But it was a daughter, a mother, and a father. It was a funny situation. And they tell the father, come on, this bag is only bag, I think. Not bag, like what a woman. It's bag, right? It's called bag. It's only $8,000, father. It's not a big deal. So I had to turn. I'm really? Okay, the women look at me in a bad look. But I thought it's a lot of money. I thought, in my opinion, okay. Anyway, but I'm not judging. If you're buying $20,000 bags on my business, enjoy life. What? What do you say? Huh? It was in Nostradamus. Yeah, I call it Nostradamus, Nostrum. Yeah. No, but the point is, I was thinking after, when I went into the car, I said, well, Eliyahu, but if she can able not to want it, and she want it, then it's okay.
Are you doing that kind of currently in that moment?
Like, no, it's in your mind. You have to be real. You have to be real. It's like... it's like me. Let's say today I order a sandwich from a place I shouldn't order for whatever reason. So I'm about to bite the sandwich, about to bite it. Thank God, because of training of 30 years. I said, maybe not. Then I had to ask a few questions and I was right. But the gift that I have of the years of working to be able to say no, in my case it's food a lot, to be able to say no to food is awakening within me, am I ready to receive it for real? You know, it's very hard. It's very difficult. Joseph the righteous. What makes Joseph the righteous righteous? If you read about it in the Zohar, his ability to say no to the woman he want to have sex with. They were in bed, they were naked, it was over. Everything was starting. You know, the drums start, everything was, whatever you call it, it was going, you know? And he was able... put the park in reverse and go back and goodbye. I don't know what to say. He was able, what do you say when you go home? He was able to say no to that. That's a different, that day, the next day, the Zohar said, they called him the righteous. First it was Yosef. The next day it was righteous. Now what is righteous? Is that mean person with no desire? No, person with the most amount of desire. But a person who can say no to all his desires, that's a righteous. If the person have no desire, it's just a flat bread means good guy or good girl. In Kabbalah, when somebody tells you, you are such a good person, you're a good girl, that's almost an insult. You want to have the strongest desire in town, but in the same time, the ability to say no to it. That's we should respect people with a strong desire. So when you see somebody out there so selfish, that's the potential person. That's the person you look at. That's from there, the redemption will come. There's a story in the Talmud, again, going back to Talmud today, I don't know why so many times. There is a rabbi named Rish Lakish. I don't know if you heard the name before. Rabbi Rish Lakish was a criminal. Not just criminal. I don't like to talk bad about him because he's one of my heroes. He did a lot of things. You Google him and you read what he did. I mean, my God, nobody did what he did. But as he was running from a bank, rob a bank, he took all the money, he did whatever he did, and he jumped over a river. You see, Rabbi Yochanan is one of the greatest tzaddikim, and Rabbi Yochanan was a good-looking man. He thought it's a girl. He said, wow, what an opportunity. A girl is doing mikveh in the Jordan River. It's a true story. So he ran there, and all of a sudden he come out of the water. There's a beard. There is all the... So Rabbi Yochanan, who can read his mind, said to him, I know what you're thinking, but I have a sister that looks exactly like me, just not the beard, okay? And she's looking for someone, but it's one condition, that I will help you to study spirituality. So what are you talking about? And then he told them a verse. He said to them, Kochacha dehoraita. Your power is the power of the Torah, the power of spirituality. That's what he told them. And at that moment, he started changing him. If you look at the Talmud, he appears so many times there. Now, if you look at his life before, what he did before, it's embarrassing even to read it. If you want to read, read it. What he did was, so what am I telling you? He was the guy with the strongest desire ever. We don't even dream about committing a crime that Rish Lakish committed. We don't even dream on having a desire like Rish Lakish. But the transformation he did, that's what makes you the star. If you don't have enough desire in you, there's nothing to transform. Nothing. If you tell me, listen, I never smoke a cigarette, today I also didn't smoke. That's not an achievement. You have to have something you desire to do and the ability to say no to it. And that's why the people that said that born into a spiritual home or they're born into a religious home or to something, and they say, I believe in God. No big deal. But people believe in nothing and being able to discover themselves. You know, this is an unbelievable thing. This is a transformation. So you're not being defined by what you achieve. You only can be defined by what you overcome. That's what life is about. Life is not about what you achieve, how much money you make, or how many people you love. What did you overcome to get there? Right? I mean, it's very important that you remember that. You know, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the person who wrote the Zohar, his son, Rabbi Lazar, they were in the cave for 13 years studying Zohar. The reward they get is for what they had to overcome while they are in the cave. They have the grandson, Rabbi Yossi, which is higher than two of them in spirituality. But he never suffered. He never need to overcome anything. So your life is not defined of achievement. Sometimes you see a person who didn't achieve a lot in life. Sometimes you see people who are rough, not nice, not loving. And you see the other person, oh, loving everybody, I love. So what? What did this person take to love one person? To love one person. That's the tough thing. You know, I grew up, my father, may he rest in peace, he grew up as an orphan. He never met his father. His father died when he was born, before his brit. His mother died when he was 4 and a half. He put by mistake on a ship from Libya to Sicily. He grew up in Sicily in an orphan home. Doesn't know the language, doesn't know nothing. What kind of life, right? Now go convince this guy that there is God, right? He married an Orthodox woman, my mom. Orthodox Jewish woman with person who is like, not just have doubts, have certainty, God kind of forget about it. I grew up in a home which is kind of funny. One side it's all about God, one side, he grew up in a kibbutz when he moved to Israel. So kibbutz, ultra-Orthodox, what do we do here, you know? What do we do? So what I'm trying to say, I used to judge him because of the eyes of my mom, because my mom looked at life from God, from spirituality. My father, some rabbi will walk into the door to ask for charity, he will kick them out. He will not believe in those things. Never. My mom, anybody who walk, even the thief who walk, she give him vegetables, money, clothing, everything. And I remember that I look at my father, and not in a nice way, but I always remember there is few things that he did that was surprising me. Like that he's capable of loving, he's capable of doing, capable of sharing. So, wow. So I always say it's not what you achieve in life, what you overcome. What you overcome. So a man like this, or some of you I'm sure went through tough life in some area, if you're able to overcome that, that means that your desire to receive what you want to get, you are capable of doing that transition, that transformation of giving. And this is hard. This is where the real work is. So don't look at the person with a big yarmulke or long beard or big cross. That's nothing. This is what they achieve in life. What they overcome to get there. What they overcome to get there. What they overcome to love. What they overcome to accomplish. When you look at people, what they have overcome, this is the people, you know? So don't get impressed by people, wow, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. What they overcome, you know, you look at, that's the most beautiful thing. Most beautiful thing that you want to look at. A kid that start from crawling to walk, overcome something. Unbelievable, you know? But if the kid will be born walking, who will be impressed with the kid running or walking? Nothing been achieved there. So what? Nothing. But they're overcoming. A team is not a team. A basketball team is not a basketball team until they are maybe losing and then winning. Somebody in money, you know, and today a lot of the kids won't win without what you have to go through. And that's sad. Sad for them because the achievement of life is the lost and problem, those are the things that are the best gift of your life. So if you have good people, in the Holocaust was a lot of good people. In the Inquisition, wonderful people. But those flood people, when the Second Temple was destroyed, you know how many good people was there? Wonderful people. They didn't create any change. The one who created the change is the one with the strongest desire. There's the strongest desire, and they have to choose either to be greedy or either to be able to control their desire. Get excited with people's desire. Don't get excited with people who don't have desire. Because I see most people impressed, and they say, such a nice person, what makes that person nice? Oh, he's never hurt anybody. He always nice, he always that. But what did he overcome to get there? You got to look at those things. The people who invented this universe as human being, where the real power of God exists, is the one who ran into problem, the one who had to overcome different things, different difficulty. You should get impressed. Get impressed by those people. It's very sad for me to see people judging. All the one was doing this, doing that. So much beauty. So much beauty that when I was teaching in a rehab center, you meet people there that there is, of course, but the one with the strongest desire, and one of them impressed me the most, and I remember that my kids looked at me when I brought him and all his friends to my house. You know, it was a defeat of student, and I invite, and he was crying that I allowed him to come to his house. You know, we talk about the person who broke two home and shooting and doing A to Z everything, basically, and he's coming to my home and eating dinner with me. And my kids were still young, and they're looking like, what's going on? What's happening? And his two friends are coming with a car, you know, that look like the car that you see in the movie. And they walk in, the respect that they had, that I tell them, please come to my home. They come, sit together, because what they overcome, you know, the addiction they overcome, the list of things they overcome, and through that they open their own business, it's beautiful. Just beautiful. Get impressed with people who overcome. Don't get impressed with people who achieve. If you see people achieve 24 billion, what did they overcome to get there? That's the beauty. What did they overcome? What was the struggle? Because the desire die is you get a punch in your face. The desire die. And people with a strong desire never die. Never die. One of the movies that impressed me the most, is scared me the most, and impressed me the most, with the Wilson, with the ball. What's the name? My God. You know what disturbed me about this movie? How can I make that decision to stay on the island and to leave? How can I make that decision? Now, if we wouldn't make the decision on the right time, he would never meet that, you know? So Debbie and me have a lot of conversation on that. So Debbie answered it in a very simple way. He said, well, the creator, master of the world, planned that everything worked. I liked it. But when you are a human being on the island and you have to make that decision, it's a tough decision. And I think all of us has to make decision about what we're afraid of, what we need to overcome. You know, I read today about the eagle. I sent it to a few people. It was a video I saw. That the eagle, when he live long time, like 130 years. You know about it? When he get to the age 50, he cannot longer use his leg. And he cannot use his beak. Beak. And so you need to break it to suffer. You need to break a part of his leg to be able to use the leg again, and then he will get extension of life 30 years more. Then he has to go to that. So one of the motivational speakers spoke there, and he said, in life, if you're afraid to make a change with your life, that means you just want to keep it status quo and everything is okay. Yeah, you wouldn't bother the universe, and the universe wouldn't bother you. And everybody would be happy with your existence, but it's like you've never been alive. It's like people say, I don't know who say that, you know, a sheep that stay in the shore, nothing bad ever will happen to it. But the sheep were never meant to stay in the shore. They need to go to the ocean, right? So we need to start to look at life as, I cannot just be this good guy or good girls. What's the difference? What am I adding? Sometimes saying no is sharing, by the way. Saying no to someone is sometimes sharing. My student, he might listen to me. My student asked me for something today, and I said, no. And he wrote, really? I listened. But the idea is my no was the biggest gift I could give him. Why? Because now we need to work, we need to discover, we need to do something. Now, if the student don't appreciate that the teacher, when they say no, it's actually to give, then there's a relationship issue. We can't solve it. Sometimes I will say to my kids, absolutely not. It's easier for me to give them the $100 bill or $20 bill and finish with it. But to say no to them and have argument with them, it's more giving because I'm building their personality. You need to look at everything. Are you giving or receiving? A lot of time you're giving, but you're actually taking their soul. Being tough on someone if you love them, only if you love them. Only if you love them. If you don't love them, don't even play that game. If you love a person, saying no is sometimes can be the best. So, again, after the Tzimtzum in Endless, the contraction took a place. The vessel became empty from light. Now you can see the difference between the light and the vessel. Before the Tzimtzum, it was not a difference between the light and the vessel, even if it was, but because it was fulfilled, you could not see the difference. So, conclusion, if we start to see the difference between us and others, it's because we're running on empty. We're no longer fulfilled, right? And what do we try to do? To change them, right? It's like the joke I always said, these couples sitting at the table, eating pancake on Sunday. The wife looking from the window and say, I have to teach the next door neighbor how to do her laundry better. The way she does the laundry, she never clean it all the way. The husband said, every week on Sunday for 6 months, that's what she's telling her husband. One Sunday, serving the pancake, looked through the window. She looked at her husband and said, oh my God, today, the next door neighbor finally washed their clothing, their laundry, perfect way. It looks so clean. So the husband looked at his wife and said, of course, because I decided to clean our window. Meaning, most of the time, it's not really what's going on there. Most of the time, if I take off my glasses, I don't see very well. But it doesn't mean something wrong with what I look at. Sometimes, if not all the time, to my opinion, it's inside. Something inside. Something inside. It's very difficult to change. But we need to change it. So again, there's many conclusions from tonight's class. And if you want, you can get always a point from our friend there. She can send it to you and get you the point. But you want to ask a question, Mrs. Kashani. With the table and the book and everything?
No, like the vessel here manifests the light.
Yeah.
But in the endless, there's no manifestation.
The endless, there is creation. Meaning, everything has become evolved from the endless all the way here. So what happened in the endless, as we spoke so many times? The light, the endless light, creating an endless vessel. So the endless vessel in the endless world there in the universe is giving and receiving. So the vessel basically manifests the light in the endless. But there is nothing that's going on here. It's not happening here. This does not exist. Time was not exist. Space was not exist. Physicality was not exist. Nothing was exist there. So, of course, the vessel itself gets fulfilled from the light. What was the vessel made from? Light. Exactly. So what's even we looking at? When do we know that the vessel is different than the light? When it's getting empty. Before it's empty, I cannot see the difference because the DNA is the same. Once I start to see difference between people, judgment, and all this, I'm empty. I see their emptiness because I'm empty too. But, you know, you look at the mother, the way she looks at her kids is very different. This is, you know, everybody who comes to see me for a meeting, my kids is the best kids, not because it's my kids. The same verse. For 30 years, I hear the same verse. So where are the bad kids coming from, right?